Yle Podcast.
Hello and welcome again to All Points North, the show that offers you a little slice of Finland each week. In today's episode, we ask if Finland is really the happiest country in the world, as the UN's Happiness Index would have it. We hear about academic research into paranormal experiences. And finally, we'll try to figure out just why Finns love their coffee so much.
This is the All Points North podcast, telling you everything you need to know about Finland this week.
It's another cold, slippery Friday in Helsinki, and joining me for this week's All Points North is veteran Yle reporter Eddie Hawkins, who's been working for the company since the 1970s. Welcome, Eddie.
Thanks a lot, Egan. Thanks. Great to be here.
And our guest this week is Ali Jahangiri, the comic and TV presenter of such sterling productions as Vida Contattoset and The Ali Show on Yle Puhe.
Yep.
Born in Iran, he came to Finland aged 10 in 1991, and he's done everything from light entertainment to heartrending coverage of the refugee crisis. Welcome, Ali.
Thank you so much. That was a very good introduction.
Okay, great. Now, people know you as a comedian, an entertainer, and, well, a celebrity, basically. Yeah. But you also have a master's degree in economics. What are you doing as a media personality rather than working in finance or something like that?
I think the master's degree is for my parents. As a child of an immigrant, yeah. The parents, you know, it's they can relate. We usually have high degrees and then we do nothing with our lives, basically. No, I just to be honest, I mean, when I started, in the 90s, nobody told us that we can do anything else except go to school, you know. So that's what, and I could never play any music, or I was never a very good athlete. So I decided that, you know, the school is my way. So I didn't study hard, but I made it, and then I ended up having a bachelor's degree, and then later a master's degree in business. But you know, all the while I started doing stand up comedy, and I was just like, well, this is much more fun, and you know, from everything that I learned from my business degree, I just realized that maybe if I brand myself, then I could make it, and then something happened. A lot of people were just like, you're funny, just do this for your living, and I'm on that way.
So it was useful to in your career, anyway.
Very, very useful, yeah. I mean,
well, I mean, don't they talk about funny business?
Funny business. Exactly, yeah. This is a business. I mean, entertainment business is as any business as it's as hard as any other business. You know, you have to build a brand, maintain a brand, market your brand, and then, you know, keep developing as your audience or your customers go. So it doesn't really make a difference. But for me, of course, it's just different because I have to think about the things that I say and the way that I present myself. And But I haven't really made it that far. I mean, I'm on this podcast, if you think. Just kidding.
Some way to go before you hit the big time. But you seem happy anyway. You seem happy, which is a very Finnish thing. As we found out this week. With the UN Happiness Index alleged that Finland is the happiest country on the planet.
Yeah.
To much skepticism in Finland. I mean, can you believe that Finland is the happiest country in the world? Does it ring true?
I think it's very true. I think that we have a hard time believing it because it's not something that we're accustomed to. In my comedy, I always try to bring out different, like especially like beliefs that we have that are not true. Like for example, you know, the whole idea of you know, us not being happy. It's just a belief. You know, I mean, if you think about it, that people don't talk to each other that often. You know, we're not really kind to strangers, but that doesn't mean that we're not happy, you know, because being happy is different than to show it as an emotion. You know, you can smile inside yourself. You don't have to put it out there, you know.
Yeah, and there are different things that people can be happy about. I mean, I saw some feedback on this. It was things that make people happy. There are so many empty elevators.
Yeah.
And a sort of buildings are built with lots of elevators, so yeah, you can always choose an empty one.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with happiness. I mean, in general, we just don't like other people.
But we're not social.
We're not social. But, you know, why should we be social? We can still be happy and not be social. I mean, I just hate I don't know how America got ranked on that list, but I hope that it was really, really low, because they're always so happy and you just look at them going like, you're not really that happy.
It's not
you're
genuine,
miserable.
It feels fake.
You must be miserable inside.
Well, there are different ways of measuring, I suppose, happiness and misery. This is one thing that came up when this was published, that people saying, oh, what kind of criteria? Well, in fact, this index was created by a research body known as the UN Sustainable Development Solutions Network, and to make the point that what they mean by happiness can also be called subjective well-being.
Yeah.
And so the criteria they use are a mix of feelings and facts. There's things like the GDP per capita and life expectancy. People that live longer tend to be happy. I mean, we assume the living are happier than the dead. and their responses to a series of questions about the freedom to make life choices and having relatives or friends you can count on, about generosity and giving to charities, and perceptions of corruption in society.
Yeah. Well, I think that's in that sense, it's very accurate if you think about it. I mean, there's nothing happy about those things. It's just like, are you okay? It's like, yes, I'm okay. Well, then you must be happy. I think that's sort of like, that sort of sums the entire Finnish happiness to think. It's just like, so what's your GDP per capita? It's above average.
Well, that's on a global scale, I guess that's it. I mean, they have in the index, they had like a positive effect indicator, which is a measure for happiness, laughter, and enjoyment, and a negative indicator for worry, sadness, and anger. And people are asked to think of a ladder with rungs numbered from 0 at the bottom to 10 at the top. And the top is the best possible life, and the bottom rung is the worst possible life for you.
Yeah.
So I think Finns, possibly, they think it could be much worse.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, I mean, last year sort of showed us how bad Finland used to be. Like, with the whole images of, like, you know, like, this is, we've had civil war, we've had to fight separate wars to keep our, so people know. And, you know, like, a lot of people, a lot of my friends, you know, their granddads still tell them, like, if it wasn't for them, they would have a shitty life. So, you know, a lot of my friends just say, I'm so happy. I'm so happy for everything that I have.
But you've also, I mean, in addition to your comedy, your humor, you've also done some very serious reporting on one of these. Certainly not a happy topic. I mean, back in 2015, you traveled for 3 weeks with refugees from an island in Greece to Helsinki. And you, for example, you helped a rubber boat that was jammed full of refugees from Turkey to get to dry land. You crossed borders illicitly.
Yeah.
You got questioned by police for 12 hours. You know, it sounds like quite an experience. So can you...
Yeah, I mean... I think that, you know, in 2015, I'm not sure how you guys felt, but I individually, I kind of felt that the Finland that I used to know was sort of crumbling. I mean, we already saw certain images in 2011 after the Perussuomalaiset got such a big...
There you mean this right-wing party.
Yeah, this right-wing party and their popularity within the elections. And that escalated into 2015 when we had a crisis with the refugees. And that crisis hasn't gone anywhere. That crisis is still there. But people tend to forget because there's no longer people walking across borders. But in 2015, I was kind of fed up with the way that the media, especially a lot of my friends who are in the field of media, they only had one way of portraying these refugees, and I thought that maybe I have a different way, maybe because of my own background, I could help in a different way, and that was something that we did with a friend of mine who's Hami Ramazan, and he's a very exquisite movie director, and I asked him to come along. And the whole idea was just like, I'm not supposed to be in the middle. Like, none of us were supposed to be there telling about our feelings. The only thing that we wanted to do was to show that this is how people, this is their journey. And that's what we did. We just wanted to portray how people make this journey. And by taking ourselves out of the equation and just being like the eyes for the general public. And
what was the reaction?
The reaction was very good. I mean, we showcased it in a lot of movie theaters. We had very good discussions with a lot of people. We had panel discussions at the end of each show. So people would come to the movie theater, watch it, and then we had a panel discussion about it. And a lot of people had questions. And those questions were the same as we would find on a lot of these discussion forums. But there were actual people asking the same questions. There were genuine fear, and there were genuine, you know, people didn't know how to react to the feelings that they had.
It's a really new thing for Finland, isn't it?
It's a very new thing. I mean, if you think about it, my parents came here in 91, and I was like, in 97, 98, when I would go to the store, when I would go and I would try to play any sports, I was always the only foreigner guy. I was the only immigrant. Like, I remember when I started playing hockey, like, I think it was like 93, 94, the referee didn't know how to handle me being on skates.
Send you off straight.
Yeah, he was just like, but can you skate? I'm just like, look at me. I'm part of this team. So that was a different, I mean, and that's only 20 years ago. And in perspective now, in 2015, well, if you think about it now, 3 years later, after that crisis, nothing has really changed in Finland. Nothing. Yeah, we've turned a lot of people back. That was one very, well, this is a podcast, so I can say fucked up thing that we've done, that we haven't managed to actually give any people, like, we haven't managed to give all people asylum. But that's, you know, but you know, being a comedian, it's all about, it's all, for me, being a comedian, it's about the truth, and it's about the society, and it's about everything that we, it's for me, it's about, I often refer to myself, in my own thoughts, I refer to myself as a court jester. We don't have court jesters anymore, but because we don't have a court anymore, we don't have kings, we don't have, but. These gestures used to put their own life at risk in order to show the king and the queens of the life of the poor, and we don't have that anymore. So I kind of feel that I am that person who does that. So that's why I'm very intrigued with everything that happens within, especially regarding issues of race, gender, equality.
Just to touch on the race thing little bit before we. Running a little bit short of time, but we're going to talk about this social media campaign this week, because next week the Red Cross has an official anti-racism week, but this week this Olentodistanut campaign has sprang up on Twitter and Facebook and elsewhere, where people have said, I have witnessed some racism. And I personally found that quite interesting, because a lot of people just deny it happens. They don't believe it when somebody says that this has happened. But what can you tell? I mean, the ice hockey thing, it's already quite
well,
funny.
I mean, no, but that's funny. But also, I learned how to make a difference between what's racism and what is systematically being put on me as, because you are different, you are not allowed, versus something that people are ignorant or just don't know. I mean, the ice hockey referee, he just didn't know how to handle with me. But once he learned that I know how to play hockey, he was okay with it. I mean, he didn't say, like, because you can't be on the ice because you're you know, you're dark, just go away. So there's a difference between racism and ignorance. Now, in 2018, I think that we're running out of excuses for ignorance. We're just running out of excuses. I mean, we still have blackface. People still do blackface in Finland, which is like, why? We've already talked about this. You don't have to do it anymore. That is just that is not that you didn't know. And but, you know, but this Olentodistanut was a good example of something that a lot of people just don't seem to understand. It's just like, there is racism in Finland. It's not every day and it's not everywhere, but there is racism. And at the same time, there are people who object to the fact that there is any racism in Finland.
That's true. And now it's time for a roundup of some of the main stories in the news this week, apart from the happiness. First up, a citizens' initiative demanding upper secondary and vocational schools become free of costs to students reached the required 50,000 signatures over the weekend and will now move to Parliament for consideration. Schools in Finland don't charge any fees for tuition, but books, computers and other equipment can carry a hefty price tag of up to €2,600.
The CEO of the Finnish Youth Foundation, Aki Haro, is to step down following a police probe into financial irregularities surrounding Haro and the foundation's board chairman, Perttu Nousiainen. The non-profit group has close ties to the premier, Juha Sipilä's Center Party, but the prime minister has claimed no knowledge of developments at the foundation and says he trusts that the right decisions are being made.
As we've already discussed, the United Nations declared Finland to be the happiest country in the world, or it was a working group under the United Nations, not the United Nations itself, it's not that official. But the World Happiness Report ranks 156 countries by happiness levels based on factors such as income, life expectancy, social support and levels of corruption.
In a statement on Wednesday, President Niinistö condemned the nerve agent attack against former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter that took place in Salisbury, England earlier this month. Niinistö said that the use of nerve agent in an attempted murder was a shocking act and a very serious blow to international security. And he called for Russia to provide clarity on the case. He went on to say that both of the provided alternative explanations of the event, deliberate action on the part of Russia or the possibility that dangerous substances are not under its control, are very worrying.
And at a brief stop in Helsinki, the president of the European Council, Donald Tusk, had some choice words for his namesake, Donald Trump, over the proposed introduction of steel tariffs. In the face of a slippery slope to a potential trade war, Tusk urged Trump to make trade, not war, and stressed that the relationship between Europeans and Americans should be cherished rather than challenged.
Have you ever had an experience that you can't rationally explain? You know, one of those strange, uncanny things like seeing a ghost or having a vivid dream that comes true. Donna Coleman, who's been looking at this, says that research shows that some 40% of Finland's people have had at least one experience that might be called paranormal. But there's a stigma surrounding the uncanny and paranormal research, as we hear from Donna.
A discussion at the popular Night of Science event in late January has drawn a large crowd in Helsinki. The theme of the talk is paranormal experiences in Finland. Professor Marja-Liisa Honkasalo talks about a recent research project called Mind and the Other, funded by the Finnish Academy. A medical doctor and anthropologist, Honkasalo led the four-year study.
It's a kind of project that where we try to understand experiences which are in the literature, which are called like unheimlich, uncanny, or weird. Different kinds of like bodily and sensuous experiences of hearing voices or seeing miracles or visions or like feeling a kind of presence, the strange presence of something. And then also of experiences which are quite frequent. I mean, experiences of precognition and telepathy. And our main question was to ask why are these experiences excluded from research on human mind or psychiatry or psychology? Why are they like not taken seriously?
Based on population research, more than half the people in the Western world have had at least one experience that might be called paranormal. Honkasalo says that in Finland these are as common as arrhythmia, with up to 40% of the population reporting these. The interdisciplinary Finnish Academy project looked at such experiences from a cultural studies perspective, with contributors from fields including anthropology, folklore, history and psychiatry.
We think that the experiences were not fitting the natural science-based category, where it's either like normal or then it's pathological and nothing in between. And this, because they are like in-between experiences, so then they were easily like categorized as abnormal. When the project started, so people wanted to contact us because I mean, they wanted to tell stories of stigma, how they had tried to to become understood, like through maybe decades or through several years at least. I mean, how they have contacted different kind of like institutional persons and medical doctors, and but also like priests and representatives of the Finnish Protestant Church. And because, I mean, these authorities were not quite sure whether these are healthy or sane experiences, so that's why they always put it to the sick side.
Honkasalo claims first-hand experience of the taboo nature of her research subject as she relates events around the publication of the project findings last fall. She had been leading the research from Turku University, her longtime employer.
After the book, this Mielen Rajoilla, was published, so then I was invited to my boss instead of graduating. So then she like dictated that I'm going to lose my teaching, my undergraduates, and also my like graduate students. The listener can be like make own conclusions. What is if there are like causal relations between these like events? But anyway, so they just happen to happen after each other.
According to Honkasalo, her Turku University employers had earlier wanted to review her work ability due to memory problems, which she denies having. Honkasalo is continuing her work at the University of Helsinki and as a researcher at the University of Arts.
And that was Donna Coleman on scientific research into the paranormal and paranormal phenomenon. Have you ever had any experiences, any uncanny experiences?
Oh, paranormal? I think, what's it called? My mom, she heavily believes in this concept of jinn, which is like these, what's it called? These
spirits.
Yeah, spirits, yeah. And, I think when I was a kid, she used to go like, oh, there must be a djinn there. So I was always afraid of them. I haven't really had like a paranormal experience myself. But I don't know. I mean, I don't judge people for having them. And I don't say like you're crazy. Just go like, I haven't had them. Yeah. What about you guys?
I did once stay in a supposedly haunted house, but it was a school trip and it was just badly maintained. Yeah. And, like, kind of old.
Well,
it wasn't too scary.
I have seen from somebody that I implicitly trust and is a professional, I've seen astounding documentary evidence of life after death.
Yeah.
Things that were, like I said, I sort of choke up every time I talk about this. The thing is that it was told to me in confidence. A lot of it is from confidential documents, and the researcher, the person who put this together, he was planning a book, and then there were certain issues with publishing, and then he took the attitude that
I'm not going to tell it to anyone.
No. Well, his attitude was that what's the point? Because anybody that believes will believe, and anybody that won't believe, no matter how much evidence you put on the table, they're not going to believe it. So why bother?
Exactly. that's a good attitude.
But this is diametrically opposed to what Donna was just saying in his report, and that is that there is research being done in a lot of disciplines on these kind of things, and some of the researchers are, well, people that experience this, and now the researchers themselves run into a certain stigma that's attached.
Yeah, well, there's a huge stigma attached to it, and the stigma is just like, "Oh, you crazy?"
But it's not clever to judge, though. I think
no, I'm not judging, but that's how I'm saying. Like, that's how normally, generally, people actually think. I mean, what's it called? When I did the show. Ali Coxnelia, the first time we did it for Nenapäivä, a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I did a 24-hour show on Yle Puhe. And I think in the middle of the night, we had like a group of people who actually, who are these ghost hunters. They came into the show and we had a discussion about this paranormal activities. And they had these different devices where they measured whether there was something in the room. And to be honest, well, their metrics showed something, but that was it. So I don't know. I don't know. So if there's a ghost somewhere, well, then there is.
There is indeed.
Yeah.
There is indeed. Who can say?
Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Something is wrong.
Now it's time for the question of the week, which this time comes from Laura.
What's your name?
I'm Laura.
And your question?
Why do Finns drink so much coffee?
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm not sure that we can... Well, I can't give a definitive answer to that, why do they drink so much, but I can confirm that they do drink a lot.
Yeah.
Now, this country has the highest, not only is the happiest, maybe there's some kind of correlation here, but we've got the highest per capita consumption in the world. It's about 10 kilos of coffee a year for every man, woman, child in the country, and that's like more than twice as much as in Brazil, where they actually grow this stuff. So, you know, it started becoming popular in like upper classes in the 1700s, and then by the early 1800s, it got to a point, I mean, over the time it had been banned and heavily taxed and whatever, and at one point in the early 1800s, then King Gustav IV Adolf, who was king of Finland as well, he just gave up and issued this proclamation saying, because you, my subjects, are such knaves that you cannot get by without coffee, we wish to permit the use of this beverage for the time being.
Yeah.
That's exactly how he used to talk. But in this climate, especially in the winter, you do need a pick-me-up in the morning,
yeah.
Something to wake you up. And I did hear once that it used to be vodka, and then it switched to coffee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
This is what they say. I mean, like moonshining,
yeah.
You know, making your own.
Vodka, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was, it was illegal up until 1866.
Yeah.
And it was only in 1866 that it was made, home distillation was made illegal. And so, like, breakfast moonshine became illegal. At the same time, the king was saying, okay, well, you can drink coffee if you really need it.
Yeah.
So it became a product, and it became much more
I think that you're just
common.
Drinking coffee. It's just, I don't know, it's just, that's what you do in Finland. You just drink coffee. Like, you know, I mean, I've never actually thought about it. Here's a very good phenomenon. It's like now, especially a lot of kids on YouTube, Finnish kids, like really, really young kids are tasting coffee. Like, for example, they brew different coffees and then they taste them and then they tell each other. I mean, I'm talking about like 10-year-old kids, and they do this on their YouTube channels. And
really?
It's a very popular thing to do, actually. It's not, I'm not making this up. You guys can just like Finnish kids just having coffee. But, and for me, I mean, I started, my parents started drinking coffee when we came here. Like when we were living in Iran, they used to always drink like Turkish coffee. But now my mom can't live without her coffee. I mean, this is I'm not joking. But the first time they ever went to visit the United States, some of our relatives lived there. The next time they had to go there, my mom took her coffee with her. The Juhla Mokka. I was just like, come on. And that's a fun, like that Pauligin, the Juhla Mokka thing. It's one of the first Finnish, like to ever make a brand was Paulig. So they used to make these. They used to put like Paulig on their sack of coffee when they would import them. And that's actually how that Pauli thing got bigger. And if you think about it, we don't really have anything except Juhla Mokka.
That's true.
That's true. I mean, if you drink Saludo, it's just like, oh God.
Yeah. Well,
why am I friends with this person?
Yeah, I mean, when I visit people in Finland, you always get coffee, especially relatives in the countryside.
Yeah.
In England, it's booze. You get a beer or wine or something else.
Yeah.
But in Finland, that's a bit of a taboo. So.
Yeah, I mean, but it sort of changes. Like in the morning, you get that. But I've never seen, like, if somebody offers you coffee in sauna, then just run, because that is a psychopath. He wants to do something bad.
Yeah,
to
look,
you.
Before we get too wired, and I have to mention that everybody has a coffee cup in front of them here.
I'm the only one drinking it black, though. Everybody else is mixed there with milk or something.
Before
like that.
We get too wired on the caffeine, let's put the cups down for a moment here and take a look at maybe what's happening this weekend.
If
you have something on your mind, just send your audio message to our All Points North WhatsApp account. Our WhatsApp number is +358 44 421 0909. Tell us what's on your mind, and your comment or question might be heard on our next show.
The last scratch was amazing. La, la, la. Good job, Ule. Good job.
Now we're approaching the end of this week's show, and after this hectic week, I'm just about ready to pack it in and start off my wonderful weekend of relaxation in Tampere for the Finnish Choir Master competitions, it says here.
Yeah, sure, we believe that.
What about you, Ali? What are you doing this weekend?
Actually, I'm doing a show in Tampere this weekend. I mean, today I'm going to Tampere. We have a show in Pakkahuone, and it's going to be translated for deaf people. So
oh, wow.
for those who have a hearing impairment, is it impairment?
Impediment.
Yeah, hearing impediment, not hearing impairment. and tomorrow I'm going to be in Helsinki, Aleksanterinteatteri. But they're all in Finnish, so if you don't speak Finnish, don't come, because I'm not going to change my language just because you showed up for listening to this podcast. What kind of...
You're not going to adjust for any
I'm not going to adjust for just one person who showed up because they listened to the podcast.
No. Well, that sounds like you've got a great weekend coming up. What about you, Eddie? Have you got any plans?
Well, I don't know. I haven't got anything firm. There's something I'm interested in Ruoholahti here in Helsinki. There's an event, a festival. It's called Karhu the Man. Karhu means
That's
bear.
True, yeah.
Karhu the Man. And so it's like celebrating guy stuff. So it's got fashion and men caves and toys for boys and
that
food.
Doesn't sound toys for boys.
Toys for boys.
Hey, sounds got, like a guy in a van.
No, they got, you know,
got
it's
toys
like,
for boys.
It's like motorcycles and yeah. And you know that kind of thing. And they've got, but they do have a red district.
Oh,
yeah. It's not a red light district.
No,
it's
a red district. I don't want to disappoint you, but. That is
socialist man.
That's just a part of the event site that, yeah. That where they have booze. I mean, you
oh,
can get
okay, yeah.
That's where they sell the booze.
But I think that's actually a good. I mean, to be honest, it's the first time they're actually doing it, right?
Yeah,
they haven't done it before.
No, I don't
and
think
and
so, no.
And for me, it was at first I was just like, what this is like. I was like, we did, but when I started looking at what's happening there, I was just like, well, this is actually something I'll go to because there isn't really anything like just for men. You know, and I'm not saying it like in a chauvinist way. I'm just saying like, you know, there isn't a place where you can just go as a man and be like, well, I'm interested in fashion as well without
yeah,
being
right.
judged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, if you're interested in watches, you can go there. If you're interested in what's it called? In investing, you can go there. If you're interested in toys, you can man toys, you can go there.
You almost talked me into it. I might change my plans.
Well, I guess we see you there tomorrow then. But I'm not going there. I'm not going to go there. My face is going to be a Ali Jahangir in the chauvinist event. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to...
But it's about time to wrap up this week's show. We'd like to thank our special guest, Ali, for joining us this week. Thank you, Ali.
Thank you so much.
Don't forget to stay in touch on social media via the Ule News Facebook, Twitter and Instagram accounts. This week's show was produced by Lydia Taylorson. Reporting was from Donna Coleman. And your presenters were Eddie Hawkins and myself, Egan Richardson. Our audio engineer is Marco Vierico. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to tune in again next week.
You've been listening to All Points North, a podcast produced by Yle News, a unit of the Finnish Broadcasting Company. For daily news from Finland in English, head to yle.fi/news and follow us online at Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You've been listening to Yle News.